Luke's version of the Beatitudes, which we've just heard, is a bit different from the one we find in Matthew chapter 5. And that one's normally referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? But what we've heard today is certainly the same episode early in Jesus' ministry that both gospel writers are writing about. In Luke's version, Jesus has come back down the mountain and is teaching his disciples on the flat land below. So it's called the Sermon on the Plain. So, how to be blessed? How to be a saint? Seems an appropriate enough sermon for All Saints' Day. Luke records Jesus speaking about life's underdogs, the poor, the hungry, the downcast, and the persecuted. The world had not treated them kindly. It had not showered them with material or social blessings. Most days for them would have been a struggle in some way, very often because the fabric of society was rigged against them. There was no social mobility. Once a peasant, almost always a peasant. Once a slave, almost always a slave. If you rebelled, the system would get you. And there were few, if any, people who would do what Jesus was doing and speak out against the myriad injustices of life. Jesus wanted to be a social reformer. And as far as that was possible to do single-handed, he did it, constantly going up and down and around, healing and teaching, transforming the lives of the poor and the sick at a touch or with a few words. But there was just too much opposition from the powers that be, most prominently, of course, from the scribes and the Pharisees, the top dogs of Jewish society. They were appalled at the idea of any change, as top dogs almost always are. Life treated them well, and in the Jewish way of looking at things, that meant that God looked upon them favorably. So to them, Jesus was a threat in several ways, not least of which was to their standard of living and to their status in the community. In this Sermon on the Plain, Jesus is telling his disciples, and as I always say, that means us, of course, as well, that although this world is hard to change, in the next world, everything will be made right. The world's downtrodden can already rejoice because eternal blessings, eternal happiness, will be theirs in the kingdom of heaven. Unlike Matthew, who has 9 Beatitudes, Luke has only 4. But unlike Matthew, he reports 4 warnings to counterbalance them. You're in trouble if you're rich. You're in trouble if you're overfed. You're in trouble if you are so unaware or heedless of the plight of the poor and the vulnerable that you laugh your way through life. And you're in trouble if you ingratiate yourself with the rich, the powerful, and the purveyors of falsehood and live your life their way. Do any of these things habitually, and you're going to come unstuck when the day of judgment comes. One of the core elements of Jesus' teaching is always that he wants us to focus not on this world, but on the next. Whether you are poor, whether you are lowly, it simply doesn't matter to God. Focusing on the next world, though, is quite a challenge. For a start, you have to believe that there is a life beyond this one. Otherwise, there's not much point in pinning your hopes on its being better than the one you're living now. And if you've made that leap of faith, and I do hope you have, because it's what Jesus promised us, then you have to accept that being a Christian does not in any way guarantee that this life will be a bed of roses. We're only too well aware, aren't we, as we look around our church family today, that many of us have borne huge burdens for a long time. Protracted ill health, financial difficulties, family crises, bereavement, relationship problems, Some people have had to live with such things over long periods. Sometimes it must be hard to know how to go on. Jesus wants us to know that enduring the trials that life subjects us to in this world, while still being faithful to him in spite of them, that's the way to live. The next world, the one where God reigns, will reverse all the injustices of the present world. See, writes St. John the Divine in the book of Revelation, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. It's a wonderful vision of life in God's kingdom, wherever and whenever that will be. Now, I know that St. Paul tells us that there is nothing that we can do to make ourselves worthy of a place in the kingdom of heaven, and I'm sure he's right. But it's also true that Jesus had a special place in his heart for the poor and the downtrodden. So if you feel that your life is hard in one way or another, do remember that Jesus is determined to make things better for you in the next world, if it isn't possible in this one. Well, what about those people upon whom Jesus heaps woe? Do any of us come into that dismal category? Well, it's certainly not for me to say, is it? None of us here has the right to judge anyone else. Except, of course, I can judge myself. Because if I don't, how can I possibly confess my sins? What are the pits into which I have fallen? Am I rich? Well, by many measures, I am. So unless I'm generous in my giving, and I'm not making a fetish out of accumulating or retaining money, woe upon me. I don't want to squander my material wealth, but I do know, as we say, that I can't take it with me. So I want whatever remains after me to be well used. And while I'm alive, I know I need to use it wisely and not just for myself. Am I overfed? Don't answer that. Thank goodness for cassocks and all that they hide. Eating too much is one of my weaknesses, a weakness that I share with much of the Western world. As Bill Bryson says in his latest book, The Body, A Guide for Occupants, excellent read, half price, Waterstones, we are descended from creatures who needed to graze for 7 hours a day just to have enough protein to keep going. Now, we modern humans can get all the protein we need in a fraction of the time, but some of us, me included, have never lost the grazing habit. I think it's about more than food, though, isn't it? It's about overindulgence of all kinds. How much alcohol do we consume? How many clothes do we buy when our wardrobes are already full? How much time do we spend on our own enjoyment in proportion to the amount we devote to enriching other people's lives? What's our carbon footprint like? Difficult questions that we should all be asking ourselves. Laughing. That was the next thing. Woe to you who laugh. Well, you see, we're a church who laughs a lot, and I love that. I don't think that Jesus is talking about the laughter of scorn, because we don't scorn one another. I couldn't stand it if we did. I hope if I properly understood Jesus, that I interpret his line about laughter as referring to people living in a bubble of privilege, having an I'm all right, Jack, attitude to the world. The agony and anguish of others never touches them. They are entirely self-focused. Their laughter is born of self-satisfaction, quite possibly at the expense of those less fortunate, of whom they seem oblivious. Now, I find the last one, targeting those of whom everyone speaks well, very challenging. You may not have noticed, but I like to be liked. I actually crave it. And I think it's a natural human instinct. So how can that go wrong? Well, I suppose it's when I cop out, not speaking up for justice, pretending that I side with the top dogs, not, in short, standing up for the gospel of Christ, because I know that I may suffer by doing so, attracting the ridicule or the hostility of those who would think me misguided or stupid or mad or possibly even dangerous. It sometimes requires courage to be blessed. So where does this all leave us, people of St. Mark's? Not quite the underdogs in Jesus' teaching, but not really the top dogs either, as far as I can tell. So let's do all that we can to avoid deserving the woe by putting aside the values of this world and embracing those that we know are pleasing to God. Because if we do that, we are more likely to count ourselves among the blessed, among the saints. Amen.